You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And it is time to dig into some more hymns. I'm excited. 361, 362, and 363 in Lutheran Service Book. And our guest for these hymns today, the Reverend Rich Hines. He's Assistant Vice President for Mission and Ministry at Concordia University Chicago. Pastor Hines, thanks so much for being our guest for these 12 Days of Christmas.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So you get some of the good ones here. O Little Town of Bethlehem is first up on the list. A little bit of history about O Little Town of Bethlehem, 361.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I really hadn't dug into it much before, heard bits and pieces. But the text is written by an Episcopal pastor named Phillips Brooks. And he was living in the 19th century, actually in Boston. He was at Trinity Episcopal Church in Boston. And he had taken a trip to the Holy Land in 1865, and during that trip had visited the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And so some people kind of speculate that it was during that visit and the sights and sounds and just the experience of being there that it kind of brought all of this home for him. And so he wrote this poem, and actually a church musician by the name of Lewis Redner wrote the music for it. And actually, interestingly, Lewis didn't want the attention, didn't want any sort of fame or anything connected to it. It was begun as basically a sort of Sunday school song. And so while Pastor Brooks was going to name the tune after Lewis Redner, Lewis said no. So Lewis spelled his name L-E-W-I-S. So the pastor simply changed the spelling to L-O-U-I-S and added Saint in front of it. And so most people think it has something to do with, of course, St. Louis, Missouri, but it has nothing to do with it. He just kind of disguised it so that he could still give tribute to the musician that wrote it.
That is really funny. I'd always thought it was something to do with St. Louis, but now we know the secret.
I just figured that it was a pastor in St. Louis, perhaps, that had written it, and actually he was in Boston.
That was my assumption.
That is really funny. I love knowing all these tidbits.
Yeah.
What about the text? Should we pay attention to, or do you have a favorite verse to point out?
So you know, it's just one of those kind of soothing, simple carols. It's not deep, or you know, it's not a meaty Reformation Christmas hymn or something, but just kind of beautifully and simply sets the story. So it's kind of bringing you into Bethlehem in the night. And so, you know, you've got the traditional image in your mind of Christmas at midnight with Christ being born and the whole town asleep and quiet. But yet here we are drawn to the manger where even though it may still be quiet and all, the most amazing miracle has just happened there.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Anything else about O Little Town of Bethlehem before we move on to
my favorite?
You know, I think it's just very good and pastoral the way that he directs us in, especially in stanzas 2 and 4, specifically referring to Christ being born, and you know, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love, and morning stars. You know, sometimes we start thinking, oh, the beauty of creation, but morning star actually can be referencing the angels, and in fact, the speaking of stars. Of course, we have the Old Testament promise that the wise men then are then following the star to find the Christ child. And you know, the Lutheran hymn, O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright, of course, speaking of Christ himself. So it's all kind of this imagery being drawn together and then ending with a prayer to the Christ child to, you know, come to us and his work as Savior, casting out our sin and being born in our hearts, as it were, which is language that can sometimes have its own problem, but simply taken as a just as a Christmas meditation, it can be a beautiful thing.
Oh, Sing of Christ, LSB 362. I believe this is Sarah's favorite. At least the notes say that in really big letters. So, Oh, Sing of Christ. Tell us a little bit about the history of Oh, Sing of Christ.
So this one is the most modern of the three that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Pastor Stephen Starkey, who is a Concordia Chicago grad, actually Concordia Teachers College, River Forest, but we are proud to have him as one of our alumnuses. And he wrote this text, and it is paired with Forest Green, which is an alternate tune that can be used with the Little Town of Bethlehem. And I think that's part of why LSB has them on facing pages. The tune is right there for any parish that decides that they want to sing that tune with the Little Town. But then this one, Pastor Starkey does a marvelous job of, in a very Lutheran way, clearly preaching Christ and his birth for us, and just marrying it to that tune that's been around for some time as well. O Sing of Christ, whose birth made known the kindness of the Lord, eternal word made flesh and bone so we could be restored. You know, very clearly throughout the whole hymn, Pastor Starkey is clearly speaking of the whole purpose of Christ's birth, not just simply, oh, the sweet little baby in the manger, but pointing out all along his work of suffering, death, and resurrection for us, the entire purpose of the Savior coming, and it's all clearly spelled out. And yet, within this whole Christmas context, he's just, again, done a masterful job as a poet of the church.
Mm-hmm. I think, well, I like this one because it's so clearly lays out why Christ came. And also, I really like verse 2 because it refers back to the Garden of Eden and the promise. And I like when hymns kind of it pulls in all of these other scripture references and kind of gives you a fuller picture of why we're singing.
Absolutely. Going back to the fall, the whole purpose and need of Christ being born for us, what Adam lost, none could reclaim, and paradise was barred until the second Adam came to mend what sin had marred. Even the whole language that we get in the book of Romans of Christ as the second Adam, again, beautiful nuances of our Lord's saving work for us. It's not just sentiment. There's nothing wrong. Sentiment has its place, but there's depth to this sentiment here in this hymn.
Mm-hmm. Our next hymn, 363. There's a lot to cover, and we only have so much time, so I want to move on to that bit. But before we do that, anything else about 362? O Sing of Christ.
Just that it is. It's a wonderful, beautiful, contemporary Lutheran hymn that clearly still has the theology, a fairly sturdy tune, and I believe it's definitely going to stand the test of time and remain with us in future hymnals. Mm-hmm.
A sturdy tune. I like that.
I mean, it's Vaughn Williams. You can't go wrong with Vaughn Williams.
our next hymn, probably the most well-known Christmas carol of all time.
Quite possibly.
Well,
and
I shouldn't say all
modern,
time.
Really, in the greater scheme of things.
That's true.
Oh, wow, yeah.
we're talking about Lutheran Service Book 363, Silent Night, Holy Night, and also in German and in Spanish in our hymnal as well, Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, And in Spanish, yes. So,
Even in congregations that don't have people speaking German, you often find them at least singing one stanza in German.
That's true. Yeah, everyone knows the first stanza in German.
The story behind this, though, is quite fascinating. Tell us what you know about the history of Silent Night.
Yeah, so I guess we have grown up and lived in a time where many people have known the legend, but for the longest time, there was not credit given to the author of the text or composer of the tune. And so it was, you know, attributed to a number of different composers, and for the longest time people really didn't know the text, but manuscripts were later found that support what a few people in Austria had said. The carol debuted on Christmas Eve in 1818 in a little village church in Oberndorf, Austria. But this legend developed that mice in the church had gnawed at the bellows of the organ, because we're still talking foot-pumped organs at the time, and that therefore the pastor very quickly on Christmas Eve day wrote down this poem and found a church musician to write a simple tune for it that could be done with guitar and two voices, so that at least they could have some music for the Christmas midnight mass. And it's a beautiful legend, but there's a few things that need to be tweaked about it. The lyrics weren't written that day. Actually, it's been found out that Father Joseph Moore. He was a Roman Catholic priest in Austria. He had written this poem 2 years earlier when he was at a different parish in Mariafahr, Austria. And so 1816 is when the text was written. At the time, he was at a parish that had this beautiful painting of the Nativity. And so often when he was spending his time in prayer at that parish, he was staring at this painting, thinking about the birth of Christ, and so it had a big impact on him. He himself was rather musical as well, but then he was a teacher and parish pastor, and became friends with another local teacher in a nearby town who was a musician, and asked him to compose for two voices and guitar, because there were ongoing problems with this organ. It wasn't a surprise. They had problems regularly, and so he knew it couldn't be relied on for Christmas. But then it wasn't even during the midnight mass. It was actually first sung following the Christmas Eve service in 1818, and then over time there were traveling Austrian singers that took that carol and sang it in different places, and it gradually caught on. It wasn't as famous at first, but over the next couple decades, then it made it to the United States. An Episcopal pastor by the name of John Freeman Young translated it into English, and more and more people became familiar, and to the point, it's simple, it's soothing, and quiet and meditative, and so I think so many people have just fallen in love. And if you ask with pretty much anybody, if you ask what their favorite Christmas carol is, I would say the vast majority are going to say Silent Night, except for Sarah.
I know. I ruin it all. It's so, the history, knowing the history of so many of these carols, it makes singing them a little different experience this year. Now that we've been talking through all 36 of these hymns, now when I sing them, I'm thinking of you know, the historical context and what you know, it's not just a carol or a hymn that we sing right now this year. It's something that we're sharing with all of these generations that have gone before us.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting too. Sometimes things get lost in translation. And so Silent Night, it's interesting because when you translate a hymn, you have to bring the meaning of the words into the new language, but then you also are trying to work to make it poetic. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you have to, there's a little give and take. You might be stronger in the poetry and weaker in the translation, or vice versa. Silent Night is one of those two that you look in the original German, and sometimes it just seems a little deeper, and there's more riches to mine out of it. And in fact, there were actually originally six stanzas. We have three that are commonly sung in English, but there were three others, and there was an article about that in Concordia Historical Institute probably 15 or 20 years ago, and so great stuff there if you want to do a little digging on that. But if you look at the German and not trying to make it rhyme, you have something along the lines of Silent Night, Holy Night, All Are Asleep, Alone Watching Just the Holy Parents that were in the stable at Bethlehem with the Heavenly Child, with the Heavenly Child. And Silent Night, Holy Night, it doesn't even talk about shepherds quaking. It's shepherds, the first to make known through the angels, Alleluia, loud tones far and near, Christ the Savior is here. And then interesting too, we have Son of God loves pure light, but actually it's Silent Night, Holy Night, God's Son, oh how he laughs love out of your godly divine mouth that strikes the saving hour, Christ in your birth, Christ in your birth. So like Jesus, you know, in the day where clocks are striking the hour with bells or tones, it's saying the laughing coming from our infant Savior is striking the hour of the beginning of salvation for us by him being born. So, you know, the little baby, the coos and laughing coming from him are making known that this is the time he's come to save us. So kind of cool stuff going on there.
Yeah. And for 200 years now, this is the 200th anniversary Silent Night.
That's cool.
We are all out of time. I know we could talk for hours about this.
Yep.
Time to get back to the music here on the 12 Days of Christmas. The Reverend Rich Hines, Assistant Vice President for Mission and Ministry at Concordia University Chicago. Thank you so much, Pastor Hines, for joining us for the 12 Days of Christmas.
Thank you. Glad to. Anytime.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Back to the music.